Something very interesting, work out your own salvation. And there was one thing that Paul was concerned about in his life. If he had a fear in his life, it was this, that he would not do or would not be able to finish the work that God had called him to do. Now that was Paul's greatest concern. He talked about the fact that he worked harder than anybody else. He talked about the fact that he wanted to finish the course. And then at the very end, he said he did finish the course and run the race that God had for him. And another interesting thing, I want you to look in John 17 and verse 4. And I'm going to show you a statement that Jesus made that I think was extremely important. That's John 17 and verse 4. You should circle this verse and underline it because it's extremely important. Now, this is something that the Son of God said. He came as a man, as well as God, but he came to function as a man. And in John 17, verse 4, he said, I have glorified thee. He's talking about the Father. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that yet thou gave me to do. I want you to see that. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I finished the work, Father, that you've given me to do. Now that should be the number one priority of every single one of us. That should be what we live for. That should be why we exist, why we breathe, is to finish the work that God has called us individually and as a church to do. Now, salvation means several things. It means, number one, means being delivered. It means being healed. It means being saved. Salvation means all of those things. The word for salvation is sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means deliverance from death. It means deliverance from our sins. It means healing for our body. It means deliverance for our souls. It means all of these things. And what God wants us to do is bring us into the completeness that He's called us to. When we stand before God, the main issue is going to be, did we finish the work that He called us to do? That's going to be the issue. Now, I know there's a lot of churches today don't emphasize this, or they go completely overboard with it. Some churches teach you're saved by works. That's not true. You're not saved by works, but if you're saved, you're going to have works. And everybody's different. God has a plan that's different for every single one of us. So my question is, how does grace and faith work in the Christian life? So, everything we do is grace, faith, and work. The grace of God is everything He does, and He's already completed in our life. He's already completed salvation. He's completed healing. He's completed deliverance. He's preparing a place for us. He's done all of these things. And God really has done everything He's going to do. Now, by faith, we have to receive it into our life, and then we work it out. Some churches just teach the grace of God. You just get saved, then you just wait until Jesus comes. Other churches teach that you are saved, and so you are going to wait for Jesus, but you study the Word, and you spend the rest of your life studying the Word. But the truth is, the real faith is the grace of God, the faith that you have to receive from God, and then working it out. So there is a work to be done. Now, God's love never changes. It never changes. You can't do anything to change God's love. You can't work hard enough. You can't plead hard enough. You can't do all these things. You can't change the love of God. It never changes. He is love. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so by His grace, He loves you. That's what grace is. Grace is a free gift of God that has to be received. Everything that God does has to be received into your life from salvation right on down the line. So, by faith, then, we start receiving what God says. We study the Word of God. We find out what God wants from us, and we start receiving it. Receive salvation. Everybody wants to receive that. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to be approved of God, and so on. And, of course, we know what God did, and it's very simply in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. I want you to see this. I'm talking about salvation now, and so and we've been talking about this on Sunday night, but I want you to see it. And everything is based on what God has done. And right here it says what he's done. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received. Everybody say received.
Received.
Okay, you have to receive it. It's out there. It won't do you a bit of good unless you receive it for yourself. It has to be a personal thing. Your mother may receive Christ, but you have to receive Christ. Your father may have received Christ, but you have to receive Christ, you see. You've also received in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, that Christ. Now, Paul said, I received these things from God. That's why I'm teaching them, he says, basically. He said, I delivered to you what I received. Jesus Christ taught the Apostle Paul personally these things. Now, he said, number one, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's a work that Christ has already done. He doesn't continue to do it. He did it once for all. He died for our sins, period. Now, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried one time. He's already done it. He's already been buried. Our sins were buried with him, you see. And then, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. He's already risen. It's done. He's not going to continue it. He has already done it. Those three things. He died for our sins, he was buried for our sins, and he rose from the dead in resurrection power. Now, you can know that information and not be saved. Just knowing it doesn't get it. You have to receive it for yourself. It has to be the only way you'll ever get to heaven is through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Works won't do it. Even faith won't do it unless you have faith in these three things that God has already done. He's not going to do it again. It was once for all. So what we have to do is receive what he has done. It's finished. He said that work is finished. It'll never be done again, ever, anywhere. Okay, why did he do it? He did it for you and I, personally. So, we have to personally receive Christ by faith. Our faith says, and actually faith comes from God, but the issue is, by faith, you have to receive that information as true for you forever. That's it. That's the gospel. Paul said everything we do is based on that foundation. The reason we live is based on that foundation. Christ is going to come based on that foundation. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth based on that foundation. That is the foundation of everything. When Jesus Christ came. Now, if we believe and receive his love, then we're going to want to do the works. Now, his love will never change, but ours will change. We grow in grace. We grow in the Word of God. We are to grow. We are a babe in Christ and then we grow. We're going to take in spiritual food. There's certain things we do that, and everything else, He's already put it in your life. Now listen to me. Listen to this. You can't lose your salvation. I don't care what anybody's told you. I don't care what preachers told you. I don't care what anybody said. You can't lose it. But there is something you can lose. I say there is something you can lose. They got your attention? Your inheritance. You can lose that. That's what Paul was concerned about. The prodigal son lost his inheritance. Did he go to heaven? Yes. He lost his inheritance. He blew it. He messed it up. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose your inheritance. So Paul was concerned that he got every bit of the inheritance that God had for him. That was Paul's concern in his life. Now, the only reason the devil's put this nonsense that you can lose your salvation is very simply because you're worrying about whether you're saved all the time and you're not doing the works of God to be approved by Him to receive your inheritance. He can't stop you from being saved, but He can stop you from gaining your inheritance. You see. That's very clear in the Scriptures. So there's reasons we do what we do. If this wasn't true, what would be the purpose of anything? If we get saved, we'd go to heaven. But there is something more to this. And that is, God wants us to have an inheritance. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And it's verse 30. We're all going 29. Romans chapter 8, 29. I want to tell you the truth. I want you to know the truth. There's a reason to keep going in the Christian life. There's a reason to take in the Word of God and do the things we do. We're not doing this just to be doing something. We have a purpose in it. Romans 8, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. One thing God wants to do is conform us to the image of Christ. All right? You already are in your spirit if you're a Christian, but in your soul and your life, God wants to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, God has done the work, but you have to receive it. You have to receive what He says. You have to believe what's in the Word. And so forth, because God wants you to have an inheritance. How in the world do we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How do we know that? We know that very simply because there's an empty tomb over there in Israel, outside of Jerusalem. The tomb is empty. We know that. Nobody's ever come up with the body. What they used to do back in those days is they'd put the body in a cave-like place. And after the body had deteriorated, nothing left but the bones, they'd take the bones, put them in a box. And the reason they did that, so to have more room in this burial spot for others. And so some of these burial spots have boxes of bones from people that have died, and that's the way they buried them. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus' tomb is empty. There's no box, there's no bones, because He's on the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, we stand on that, you see. That's one of the reasons we know it's not the only one. He's mentioned throughout the Word of God from Adam all the way through the Bible. Jesus Christ is mentioned. Thirdly, the four Gospels record His death, burial, and resurrection. Fifthly, 500 and more witnesses saw Him after He rose from the dead. The sixth reason, the existence of the Christian faith today in churches all over the world that are glorifying Jesus Christ. And then seventhly, the Roman calendar. It's B.C. before Christ, A.D. in the year of our Lord. The Roman calendar was divided by the death of Jesus Christ. We know there's more books been written, more information been given, more Bibles printed than about anybody else, any place else, ever in the history of the world. We have proof everywhere that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day. Hallelujah. And on top of that, he's coming back, hallelujah, to receive us unto himself. Praise God, you see. Why can I preach today? You're praying for me. That's how I can do it. All right, now, Christianity is not what you can get away with and still go to heaven. That's not Christianity. Most people live that way. Most Christians live that way. What I can get away with, you do a little of this, see if you can get away with it. Then you do a little something else, see if you can get away with it. That's not the Christian life. That's not it. A lot of people think it is, but it's not. Because I'm here to tell you, you never get away with anything. Nobody ever gets away with anything. I don't care if they die and they weren't put in jail because they murdered somebody. Oh, they're going to face Jesus at the resurrection. Are you listening? You know, not only saved people are going to be resurrected, lost people are going to be resurrected and declared not guilty. They didn't get away with anything. Nobody does, you see. And that's the issue. I want you to get your inheritance. I want you to get all of that inheritance, every bit of it, and don't lose anything. And you don't have to. Though that's why we worship and praise the Lord. That's why we come to church. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we love other people. That's why we do what God wants us to do, because we don't want to lose any of the inheritance. That's why we work. Jesus has done the work, but we work because of what he's done. Now, it's really what God says and how we respond to it. You know, can you imagine this? You get a job tomorrow, a new job, and so you get on the job. You see the boss, and he tells you what to do. You punch the time card, and then you go sit down and wait for 8 hours, and then you pick the time card back up and punch it. How long do you think that's going to work? That's what a lot of people do in the Christian life. They punched a card in salvation, and they're waiting to punch it when Jesus comes again. It's going to be a blank card, you see. After you're saved, you don't have to worry about that anymore. God's done the work. Don't you believe the Father and Son and Holy Spirit can keep you? Yes, he can. You think they can keep your salvation? Yes, they can. We're talking about something God has done. He's the one that saves you, you see. Now we do our work to gain the inheritance of God. There's nothing wrong to say, I'm going to get an inheritance, hallelujah. I'm going to work and get that inheritance. That's what Paul said. I do more work than any of them, he said. I did more work than all the apostles. He didn't do anything he wanted to. He did what God told him to do. He didn't tell all of us to go out, leave everything, go out and start churches. But he gives you many times his plan where you are. And it's really not difficult if God calls you to do it. But you know we're all supposed to be in church. We're supposed to be blessing the Lord. We're supposed to be praising him. We're supposed to be doing this together. We're supposed to be giving. We're supposed to be doing all this stuff. That's the works of God. Somebody says, well, it's a nice day. I don't know if I'll do the works of God today or not. How dumb is that? You're going to spend an eternity with him. And not a whole lot more time here. I'll guarantee you. You see that if you read the newspaper. It's not going to be long. Things are happening. Even if it's 10 years, that's not long.
That's right.
You see? We don't know the time or the day, but things are happening. Look in 1 John 4:11. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Let's say that together. Beloved. Oh, that was weak. Beloved. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I don't think that's complicated, is it? That's pretty simple. Some people say, well, you go out and kill somebody, you go to heaven. Christianity says you go out and love somebody, you go to heaven. I mean, there's a lot of difference there, I would say. Right? I mean, my goodness, how far apart can you get? I'll take the love part.
That's right.
You see, this is what God said. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, that doesn't mean you don't mess up someplace, you don't say something wrong, but the issue is you get it straightened out as quickly as possible.
Yep.
You don't have unforgiveness in your life. I don't care what anybody did. You see, we get those things out of our life so that God can work through us. It's really God working through us is really what it is. Now, if you love others, you know you have the love of God in you. Another thing we do, we worship God, we praise God, we study the Word of God, we read to God on the read. We may watch Christian television, listen to tapes, CDs, whatever. And then another thing is, another work of that we do is live holy. Live sinless as possible. It's not what we can get away with, it's what we can totally get rid of in our life, you see. And that's going to gain inheritance. That's going to gain when you get to heaven. There's a reason to do these things. Sin's going to harden your heart. You're not going to be able to receive from God. You're going to mess up part of your inheritance. And you have no complaint when you stand before the Lord. That's it. Now, I'm going to show you where it says that. Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews 3:13. Oh, man, we're going to show these kids what they've been missing here. Hallelujah. All right. Hebrews 3:13. I got to find it myself here. Here we are. Okay. For they have used the office of deacon well, purchased to themselves good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Now. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Well, maybe the kids are going to teach me something. They'll teach me where Hebrews is, for one thing. Okay, here we go. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know why Christians don't want to go to church and Christians don't want to do the work of God? They're in sin. And if you're in sin, it'll harden your heart to God. A hard heart can't receive from the Lord. I didn't say you weren't going to heaven. I said you're not going to receive what God wants you to do now. That's the issue. You don't always know what God wants you to do. You know, a lot of times, yesterday, Grace and I had something happen. We were out, and we decided we wanted to go up and see Tyler, but we had some things to do before we got there at the hospital. And so we did those things, walked into the hospital, hit that room just at the right time to find out he had been taken someplace else. We went there. We got to be with him, got to spend some time with him. But it's a matter, you got to have an open heart to God to be led by God. That's the issue. There's a reason to live right. There's a reason to live in love. There's a reason to worship God. There's a reason to do these works. And I'm going to tell you, after I got saved, I wanted my family to be saved.
That's right.
You know, we go out and we do, We do the works of God. I don't understand Christians who don't want their family to be saved.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
When I got saved, well, most of my family was in Missouri. I was in Rockford. So every time I'd go down there, I'd just tell them something Jesus did in my life. Something Jesus did in my life. And pretty soon my brother-in-law got saved. And a few months later, he was preaching the Word of God. And he went to his brother, and his brother got saved. And he started preaching the Word of God. It wasn't anything I did. It was God working through me to my family. And one after one, boom, boom, my dad got saved. He was 65. I got to lead him to the Lord. My mother got saved. She was going to a Methodist church, went to a Baptist church to a meeting, and she got saved. But I had been talking to them, been witnessing to them, and had them reading their Bibles and doing all this stuff, and they got saved, and they got saved, and they got saved. Well, that was the first work. Now, the other work was talk to people where I was working. Talk to people about Jesus. And I wasn't a pastor. I was just some guy got saved, didn't know a whole lot of anything, but I knew Jesus saves.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
That's
and that's what it is. That's doing the works of God. That's gaining the inheritance.
Uh-huh.
And you pray for the sick. You learn how to pray for the sick. And somebody gets sick in your family, you pray for them. You see. And if somebody gets under the influence of the enemy, you pray deliverance over them in the name of Jesus. And they start doing the works of God. And that's what this thing's all about. You don't keep it to yourself. We're not selfish with the things of God. We give it away. And the more you give away, the more you get. And that's the way it works. It's just a continuous work of God. You give out tapes. You give out CDs. You give send CDs to somebody. Anybody can do that stuff. And if they throw them in the garbage, you did what you're supposed to do. Are you listening to me? Maybe somebody will pick them out of the garbage, you say, and get healed, get saved. Something happened. And that's what this thing's all about. And I just got through the first part. I guess next time I'm going to talk about healing and health and all of that sort of thing next week. How do you walk in that? How do you deal in that? How do you do those things? Well, we're going to talk about that next time. How do you walk in faith and healing? That's what we're going to talk about. And you need to know that. That information, I think you'll be surprised about some things. But the issue is we are striving and working for approval and an inheritance when we get to heaven. Oh, there's a lot of work to be done, don't you believe it?
Yep.
And we have to grow, we have to keep learning, and then we're witnessing to other people. I would be embarrassed to stand before Jesus Christ and he said, "Are you by yourself?" I remember a missionary one time was at a church where I was, and she told this story. She had a dream. And she came to a river, and she looked on the other side of the river, and there was Jesus. And there was a boat there, and she got in the boat. This was in her dream. And she got in that boat, and she started rowing across that river, and she went to the other side and stood before Jesus. And Jesus was looking behind her, and he said, "Don't you have anybody with you?" And she became a missionary. And she went, I forget what country. She had come back as a missionary, reporting to the church because we supported her. And she said God gave her that dream that she was standing before him by herself. He said, "I can't take you now. You go back until you have some to bring with you." And that was just the way he worked in her life. And that's the way he came. Anybody can send somebody a note. Anybody can send somebody a track. Anybody can send somebody a CD. Anybody can write a little note. Anybody can invite somebody to church and get them involved in things. And that's what this thing is all about. That's doing the works of Jesus. Now, some are going to have to stand before the Lord, and they're going to have to say, "Well, I guess I was one of those that just got away with everything I could."
We have
and there won't be anything. It's not what we can get away with. It's how much we can give away of Jesus Christ in us. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And we want to be ready. We want to grow. We want to be in shape spiritually. We want to learn everything we can. I'm trying to teach everything I can for you to be ready. I hope by the end of this year, this church is ready to do the works of God. Some of them doing them already. But I'm going to be teaching things and these things you need to know so that you'll be ready. There's a reason to be here. It's not just to sit and enjoy everything, because I enjoy it, I tell you. I loved that worship, didn't you, this morning?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And I'm telling you, that's part of the works. That's part of it. Jesus heard the worship today. He heard you singing or whatever you were doing, humming or whistling or whatever you were doing. Some people say they can't sing. Well, I say make a noise of some kind, you see. And that's the thing to do. And you take in the word, you take in the word, and then you give it out, you give it out, you give it out. We have run out of pens with the name of the radio station and everything, but we're getting some more. Grace and I give those things out everywhere we go, particularly if we know somebody's a Christian. Yeah, right. Here's one, right with this one. And give it to them. Anything to get it out there and get it going. And anybody can be a witness. Anybody can be a testimony. Start with your family. Go to people you work with. Go to your friends. Go to your neighbors and whatever. Haven't done this yet, but I'm going to come up with a little one-page thing that I'm going to put out, and I'll give them to you if you want to do it. We're going to put them out in the neighborhood, invite people to church. And we're going to do that in our neighborhood this summer. And we want to do the works of God. We want our inheritance. We want to be part of what God has done with it. It's all based on what God has done. It's based on his death, his burial, his resurrection, his seating on the right hand of the Father, and his coming again. And I'll guarantee you, I don't care what the newspapers say, the news said about whatever's going on in the world, we need to concentrate on those things that Jesus Christ has done and what we are doing then in this life. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord.